Erev Tov, good evening everybody. We are in Parashat Vayera. Parashat Vayera.
It's Mark.
It's Mark.
This is from Hebrew.
Where is it, Mark? This is Mark?
You'll not understand or okay. Understand?
Okay.
Vayera.
Vayera.
אוקיי. וירא אליו השם באלוהים אמרה והוא יושב פתח האוהל כחום היום וישא עיניו היער והנה שלושה אנשים ניצבים עליו היער והיער רוצה לקראתם בפתח האוהל וישתחו ארצה. Have you understood?
In this velocity.
וירא אליו השם. What is וירא אליו השם?
He appeared to him.
Vayera, he showed himself to whom?
To
whom?
Abraham.
Where is it written Abraham?
It's not written, but we suppose.
I don't see Abraham here. but never mind.
It is him.
Okay. Vayisa enav vayar, and then he raises his eyes and sees. What is he seeing? Vayinei shlosha anashim, three people, standing there. Vayar, and he sees. And he runs to them. Have you got any problem with what's it's written here?
Lifting his eyes and saw.
Yeah. Yes. And then
he left God and he ran to these people.
That's an interesting point by itself. But now, is there any word here that you can take out? You don't need it? You can understand.
See to see.
He lifted his eyes and he saw.
That's not what's written.
No, Vayera.
It says, Vayisa enav, Vayar, okay. And then, what's written then?
Vayera.
And behold, Vayera.
Read me the pasuk in English, okay?
Hashem appeared to him in the plains of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the heat of the day.
Vayera.
He lifted his eyes and saw, and behold, three men were standing over him. He perceived. So he ran toward them from the entrance of the tent.
That's what's written in Hebrew?
Yeah.
That's what's written in English.
In English, not in Hebrew.
Yeah, who's
and in Portuguese also it's written.
What?
In Portuguese, it's the same.
Sorry, let's read it in Hebrew, okay? Yeah. Listen.
Okay.
The second pasuk, okay? Vayisa enav vayar.
He lifted his eyes and he saw.
Again. Vayinei shlosha anashim nitzavim alav vayar.
Oh, so Bayar
Pamayim, Lama Pamayim. I don't know here where it went away in the translation.
Three men were standing. He perceived.
Sorry, that's not what's written.
So they're trying to use.
They've got a problem. Yes. They've got a problem.
It's an art scroll.
Yeah.
They have a problem because they cannot see CC again part wise. So they decided instead of translating,
he perceived
to explain.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because
but here is written in Portuguese that he saw it. No, he looked and then he saw them.
What is the difference to look and to see?
Oh, it's like to hear and
hear.
If you see, you look.
No, look and then you see. When he approximates, he...
I don't know, in Hebrew it's written very clearly, vayar, vayar. Twice the same word.
In Portuguese, no.
But we learn Hebrew. We learn the Torah in Hebrew, not in Portuguese and not in English.
Once you explain Shomea,
in Hebrew, you cannot translate the Hebrew words in a different way than they are written. When it's lishmoa, it's in written lishmoa. It's vayomer, vayidaber. So then what would you see? It was a very interesting thing. That vayomer, vayidaber is the same translation in English.
And it's not the same.
Here, it's the same word in Hebrew, but somebody decided to translate it differently. But when
it's not the same translation. Vayomer is he said, and vayidaber is he spoke.
But you see, you look in the translation, you will find out that a lot of times they use the same word for vayar.
That's their problem.
Same way as we've got here. So this is why. No, it's very important to understand it. But a lot of times, you see, like when I write the Dvar Torah in Hebrew, I don't translate it by myself. Somebody else translates it. You all know him, Albert. And then I go through it. Because sometimes when you translate something, even if you are getting very close, sometimes you can miss the point. And I, for example, when I say chevra, what is a chevra in English?
Group.
Well, chevra is like a social group.
It can be,
it's also it's
economical group.
Exactly, it could be also a firm,
a company.
A company, right.
But here it's not written. Here it's written more like the Hebrew.
Yes.
It's and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood.
Yes, and
over against him.
And then, yes, okay.
And when he saw them, he ran to meet them.
So let's now understand what's going on here, okay? After all the discussion about translation, let's. The Torah, when it uses words, it's very precise. In other words, Torah never uses something that is not necessary or is not trying to teach us something. Now, if the Torah is saying the same word twice, it means something. In the same meaning, but something to learn. So what can we learn here? Vayira elav Hashem belonim amrev u'yoshep etach ha'oel. So somebody said, who said it, that how can in the middle live God and see something? It's like, imagine to yourself, think to yourself that you are you have a meeting with the prime minister, you have a meeting with the king, you have a meeting with a very important guy, and in the middle of the meeting, you see somebody in the street, a beggar. Is it possible that in an important meeting you will notice anything but the guy that you're meeting? Now, when we talk about prophecy, the description when a prophet gets a prophecy, he trembles, he cannot see anything. So how is it possible that Avraham Avinu sees those visitors? There is an explanation for this also, but we're going in a different direction.
Can't you be distracted? No.
Meeting the Shekhinah? Meeting God?
Well,
you're on such a high level, you see people coming into the tent? Or maybe...
Hashem caused him.
What makes you... Who told you that he sees Hashem?
No.
It's written, Vayera Elav Hashem. God is showing himself...
To him.
To him.
But
it's not written that he's seeing him.
Okay.
He's not seeing the Shekhinah. You know why?
Yeah.
Because in order to get a prophecy or to see the Shekhinah, you need to be happy. And Avraham Avinu is not happy now.
He was in pain.
So you think he is in pain, and because he's in pain, he's not happy. So I want to tell you something new. You can be in pain and still be happy. No?
That you've had your operation and...
So you're happy.
It depends what kind of operation.
It depends what the results of the operation
are.
So, let's see now. God reveals himself to Avraham Avinu, but Avraham Avinu doesn't see him. So the first thing is that we try to understand what's going on here, and this is we're learning from the twice, Vayar, Vayera, Vayar, that he's seeing twice. Now, Avraham Avinu is sitting in the entrance of his tent, waiting for visitors, and there are no visitors. God, in order not to disturb him, brought the sun out, and sun we mean like 50 degrees, whatever you want. Very hot. Nobody walks outside. And he's sitting there, there are no visitors.
And he complained.
Now, God reveals himself to him, but Avraham Avinu doesn't see him because he's sad. He is not happy, not because of his pain, but because there are no visitors. There is no mitzvah to do. And that's Avraham Avinu. Now, what is God doing? He sends him visitors. And now let's see. Vaisa enav vayar. So he is raising his eyes and seeing what? Seeing God?
No.
What is he seeing?
Visitors.
Okay, it's written. Ve'ineh shlosha anashim nitzvim alav. Vayar, what is he seeing now?
Hashem.
Now he's seeing the Shekhinah.
No, seeing the visitors.
No. He saw them already. That's exactly the point.
Hashem.
It's a
palace. Look at it. Vaisa enav vayar vine shlosha anashim nitzavim alav. So he's seeing the people or not?
Yes.
Yes.
So what is the second vayar? What is he seeing now?
He was standing in front of him.
Now he's getting happy. The mood is changed. He's not sad anymore because he's doing a mitzvah of hakhnasat orchim. And in his happiness, he sees the Shechina.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Now, so you will ask, how is it possible now that when he sees the Shechina, vayarotz likratam, instead of staying with the Shechina, he runs. Now we have to understand what's the meaning of seeing Shechina.
Something else.
What is the meaning of seeing the Shechina?
See,
the seeing the Shechina, I have to say, it's being elevated. Now you have to understand, the Shechina is with Avraham Avinu all the way, and we see the only. You know when the Kodesh Baruch Hu is leaving Avraham, only after the discussion about stone. Because you won't see God is revealing Himself now, and then you will look where is He leaving him, and you can go on and look in all the psukim. And you won't see anything about God leaving him, but when we see the discussion, Omer, we see the discussion in Pasuk Lamed Gimel.
Shlishi.
It's right before Shlishi. The last pasuk before Shlishi. And you can check me from the beginning till now. There is nothing written about God leaving Avraham Avinu. So the thing is that Kodesh Baruch Hu is with him all the time, and only now Vayelech Hashem Kasher Kila Ledaber El Avraham VeAvraham Shav Limkomo. So in other words, the Shechina is with Avraham Avinu all the time. Somebody told me a very interesting story. How is it that the Shechina is with you and you tell her, wait for me? Or maybe it's not something, it's abstract. It's not something that physical. So in other words, the Shechina is with you everywhere. And especially when you do a mitzvah. Imagine to yourself, a kid told me a few years ago, says, this is like a mother didn't see her son for a long time. And then she sees him. So they're running and hugging each other. And suddenly, he leaves his mom. And he pulls a bunch of flour and gives her. What do you think? This means he leaves his mom? Or this means that he's showing her
more?
In other words, when Avraham Avinu is running to take the visitors, this is like giving flowers to the Shechina. Because that's what the Shechina wants. Chesed. Olam chesed ibaneh. That's all built on it. On chesed. So here we see how we can learn from a word an unbelievable story. So if you think that our sages just invent stories, it's all written here. But you have to look and find it. That's the secret. Not just reading, look and find it. If there is a letter not in the place, if there is a word that you can understand the pasuk, without it, it means that something here to learn. And here we learn the greatest of Avraham Avinu, that he's not sad because he had to bring Mila. Pain is pain. He is sad because there are no visitors. But and by the way, yesterday...
What mitzvah is he doing by having a visitor?
Sorry?
What mitzvah is he doing?
He's running to those visitors. It takes him home.
Went to visit them.
By the way, yeah.
No, they're visiting him. Yes.
But he got up for them.
Yes, yeah. to take them in.
That's the mitzvah.
That's the mitzvah, yes.
Okay, but they're doing a mitzvah by coming to him.
No, they're not Hashem exactly
them.
They
sent them.
Hashem sent them.
Rashi says something different.
What is he saying?
Rashi says that the first vayar is he saw them coming. Okay, and the second vayar is they stopped from him, they stopped far from him, and so he saw that they were hesitating to come, so he ran toward them to bring them in.
Again, so what's the vayar? What is the second vayar?
The second vayar is that when he saw them hesitating at a distance. He saw that they were hesitating at a distance. First he saw them coming, and then he saw that they kind of hesitated, so then he ran. Which is also very nice.
Yes, very nice.
No, so you have to see.
And saw, and behold.
That's the he, that's the English. Don't look at the English.
Well, no, you can. You can. You have a problem. You see, when we learn to learn Parshat Shavua, we have to be very careful with the translation, because a lot of times the translator tries to explain and not to translate, because and sometimes there are words that you cannot translate. So he tries to find something similar, and you're missing the point, because every letter's got a meaning. So,
that's why they use. That's why in here they use perceive, because they were going according to Rashi. Ki'ilu who he perceived, okay, is okay. He understood.
Shivim panim la Torah. No, if we learn only Torah with Rashi, it's unbelievable. It's very good, but there are a lot of other explanations. And then if we want to go deeper, we have more explanations. Who is Avram Avinu? According to the Zohar, Avram Avinu is an Hashamah that got into the world. So we can go deeper and deeper and deeper and find a lot of interesting things. But the thing is that this is not stories. It's to teach us. So what do we learn here? We learn here, first of all, how important is Achnasat Orchim. And Chazal learned from here, Gdola Achnasat Orchim Yoter Mikabalat Pnei Shechina. To get to take visitors is more important
to receive the
Shechina. Gdola achnasat orchim yoter mekabalat pnei hashchina. This is unbelievable. But now we understand why. Because there is no contradiction. Because shchina and kabalat orchim go together.
No, this that because if you do a mitzvah,
that's kabalat hashchina. That's what I'm saying. That's what I said.
It goes down to you.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming closer to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a beautiful explanation that I saw that it goes with what's happening in the last few days. There is a midrash that says that Avraham is sitting in the entrance of his tent and no visitors. So he got frightened that now, because he did the Brit Milah, nobody's going to come and visit him.
Mm-hmm.
Because now that he become a Haredi,
but did everybody know
that? He maybe women won't come to him because maybe he doesn't want to hear women.
Oh,
he
well.
Just wants to hear men. And maybe if they are goyim, he doesn't want to know about them. Because normally somebody is more attached than to those who are like him.
Like
we don't always like those that are not like us. But Avraham Avinu, he makes a mitzvah, and is the mitzvah is to do chesed with everybody. Doesn't matter if it's a man, if it's a woman, if it's an Arab, if it's another goy, and of course if it's Jewish, of course. But that's exactly the point. And the Rav Firer, when they all started to talk about it, by the way, he was not even involved with this function. Somebody was organizing it for him. And he, as a religious, ultra-religious Haredi, he is not allowed, according to his law, to listen to women singing. And I don't see the problem. And it's such hypocrisy to start with a guy like this that saved so many lives of men and women and kids and everybody. Didn't make any discrimination. Doesn't do any discrimination. So blame this guy or connect him with something that he prefers men on women or women he doesn't want. How can you? How dare you? And I was amazed to see this midrash. It's really this week talking about the same thing. Avraham was afraid that they won't come to him. So God is sending, the midrash said, God sent him three different types of people. Not as we think. One was a merchant. The other one was a sailor, and the third one was an Arab. So to show Avraham Avinu, you don't have to be afraid. Everybody is still going to come to you. And if we want to combine this with Brof Rashi, he says, maybe they were afraid to come in because everybody was blaming him. He is around. Well, from
leaders,
you don't know. Maybe he's not going to accept you. He runs to them and takes them in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So we saw another interesting explanation. Now, when we look into the parshas, so many things in our parshas, unbelievable, going all the parshas. To understand who Avraham Avinu is, this guy is such a tzaddik that you cannot even believe. He's got a whole discussion about Sodom. In Sodom, the Torah itself says they are so corrupt, very corrupt, me'od. They are real Rashaim. And Avraham Avinu wants to save them. This is unbelievable. They've got an argument. Maybe if there are 10 people, you will save them. But there are a lot of interesting things in this thing. He says, he's looking for tzaddikim. What kind of tzaddik is Avraham looking for? If we think for a minute that he's looking for a tzaddik that sits inside the yeshiva and learns and closes himself from the whole world around, that's not the tzaddik that Avraham Avinu is talking about. And why? Avraham Avinu is not a Sinai. His mission in life is to bring all the people to believe in God and to love God. And even if it's talking about Sodom, so definitely he doesn't want all those evil people to go on doing evil things. If this is the case, they're better off not in this world. Because the more evil you do, you get more punished also. What he's looking for is looking for those tzaddikim that have an influence on others. And even if there are only 10, maybe those corrupt people will see the tzaddik, how he behaves, and they will learn from him. Now you have to understand, we're not talking about a tzaddik, everything in a proportion. It's like the Rav Zalman Sorotskin, as I says, he was going on a train, and I think it was abroad somewhere, and there was a group of, young people, Jewish young people, and they were talking about the parties they were going and this and that. And then they talked about this guy, you know, this guy. On Yom Kippur, we had this big party with drinks and thing, and he didn't come. Moishele didn't come. He's a tzaddik. Normally he comes with us. Every Shabbos we do parties and everything, but Yom Kippur didn't come, a tzaddik. So he's listening, this is a tzaddik. Now, a few weeks later, he went to a yeshiva to check for somebody a shidduch, and to check if this guy, how is he? So he's coming to this yeshiva, and somebody comes to him and whispers to his ear, says, you know, this guy you're looking for, he's not such a tzaddik, he reads papers. So the Rav Zalman Soze tells to himself, look at this. Look at the tzaddik at the rush of the yeshiva, and look at the tzaddik that I saw on the train. So, you know, this is exactly the point. If you take this guy from the train and put him in the yeshiva, he's not a rasha. He's rasha merusha merusha. And if you take the guy that he does everything, but he read papers. So what? He is going to be a tzaddik of all the tzaddikim there. So in other words, everything is in a proportion. So maybe the tzaddik Avraham Avinu is talking about can be, maybe. You know, they have this bed. They adjusted it, didn't adjust the bed, they adjust the person to the bed. Now if it was long, they cut his legs. If it was short, they stretched him. What would happen if he was exactly the same size? So then the tzaddik of Sodom comes and says, leave him. He's the same size of the bed. You don't have to do anything to him. Mm-hmm. So this is a tzaddik in Sodom. Okay? So we have to understand that when Avraham Avinu is talking about tzaddikim, he's talking about people that are at a higher level
in the lower place.
And they have an influence on the others. They can influence. That's why it's written in tzaddikim betoch ha'ir. It says, not ba'ir, betoch ha'ir. If we look at it.
I'm looking for tzaddikim betoch ha'ir in Israel.
They were tzaddikim. Ine, you're sitting next to one.
Everything in the proportion.
In Pasuk Kaf Vav. Pasuk Kaf Vav. You've got it? Pasuk Kaf Vav. Vayomer Hashem.
Imemsa
Besdom 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir. And by the way, there's something also very interesting.
Inside the city. In the midst of the city.
When Avraham is talking in the beginning, in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, he says, Ula yesh 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir. See? 50 tzadikim betoch ha'ir. Not ba'ir. Kaf Dalet. Pasuk Kaf Dalet. Got Pasuk Kaf Dalet? It's, let's see. Perek, what perek is it?
Perek is chet, no?
Yud chet. No, kof. The perek.
What is the perek here?
Yud chet.
Perek yud chet. Okay, perek yud chet. Perek yud chet. Pasuk kaf dalet.
24.
Ulai yesh 50 tzadikim, betoch ha'ir. As we said, inside town, that have an influence on others. Now he's saying, ulai yesh, maybe they are. Then, what is God answering him? In Pasuk Kafvav, Vayomer Hashem, im emtza bisdom 50 tzadikim. Not if there are, if I will find. And here's another interesting point. Sdom is a corrupt town. God is going down, let's say the Shekhinah is coming down in order to have a Holy Spirit around the people. Maybe the influence will, something will happen and they maybe will do tshuva. So he's not talking about tzaddikim that were there forever. He's talking about maybe a few people will
change.
Elevate themselves and change to become tzaddikim.
Like in a
certain way. He said, "Ulai emtza." And then, when Avraham Avinu gets this message, he's not asking anymore for tzaddikim that are there now.
The toch.
He is standing, "Vayomer ina adonai, ulai yachserun." Ulai matzun, he's talking the same way in future. Future form. In other words, maybe the influence of God will cause 50 or 40 or 30 or 20 or even 10. So, we see Avraham Avinu has got this whole discussion about saving this corrupt place. That it was so corrupt that God burned it down with everything in it. Animals, kids.
There is another question.
Yes.
He's trying to save the people of Zom, but he doesn't say about Lot any word.
Why? Who, Abraham?
Yeah, he knows this. Lot is there, living there. And amazing, he doesn't say.
But
he knew already that Hashem will save Lot, or he didn't care.
Avraham cares about the klal. Avraham cares about everybody. He's trying to save the whole place. Not one person.
Of course, but... Okay.
Not one person.
Yes, I understand. But
and this
but when,
this
when
one person is not exactly a tzaddik.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's very clear that he's not being saved because of himself. Though you would think that this guy is taking... He's taking visitors in Sdom.
Yeah.
You know what was the problem of Sdom?
We
are not far away from this also in this world now. Mm-hmm. Sdom was a very good place to live. They had all the best thing of the... They had good life. And they didn't want anybody to come and spoil it. You know, you have a cake. 4 people can enjoy it. 10 people can enjoy it. But 50 people? It's got nothing there. So, Sdom decided that they don't want any immigration. That's it. No plitim. We don't want anybody from outside. So there had all those laws. There were, for example, if a poor guy came to Sodom, everybody used to give him tzedakah. That's a Gemara saying. Tzedakah. Give him tzedakah. And on the money was written the name of the guy who gave the tzedakah. Tzaddik. Then this poor, this guy has got the money. He goes to the makolet, to the supermarket. He wants to buy food. Sorry. You're not a club member. You cannot buy here. He goes to another one, another one, another one. Nobody sells him anything. He's got money. I'm going to pay you double. No, sorry. Not allowed to sell you. So eventually this guy, he's got maybe thousands of shekels in his pocket, but he's starving because nobody gives him food. So when he dies, they take him to the Beis Olam and they announce in all the town, this Ploni Almoni, the visitor, died. Everybody can come and take his money. So now everybody comes and takes the money. They had the name on it. So everybody takes back his money that he gave him 2 or 3 days before. This is a midrash from the mosque. So you have to understand, we see that the corruption become a law. And unfortunately, when we think about it today also, a lot of places, it's very easy to say Chukei Sodom. Chukei Sodom is when you don't let people come and live with you. That's Chukei Sodom. That's what Sodom did. In other words, if in America they don't let, which is a quantity of immigration, if they don't let people come from other countries, they don't allow them, this is Chukei Sodom. If we don't allow people to come to live with us, it's Chukei Sodom. Is it or is it not?
No.
Just to show you that it's not so simple. It's very difficult issue. And of course, sometimes you have to close the border. Sometimes you have to open the border. But definitely, you cannot look at Sodom and think, wow, we are tzaddiki. Check exactly what is written here. And you will understand that it's not so simple. At the end of the day, they wanted to protect their place. They didn't have jobs for the whole world. The problem is that when you do those things, sometimes you lose the connection with reality. Sometimes you become evil. It's like, you see, this good guy, he wants to do all the best of the world, he goes to politics. And then you meet him 10 years later, and he's more corrupt than the most corrupt people that you know. What happened to him? Power corrupts. Mm-hmm. Money corrupts.
Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely.
I heard another story about that. To the grave, the man died, and he put all his they put all his money with him
in the grave
coffin. And someone came and counted the money, and he put a check in.
Yeah, that's a joke that they talk about a Muslim, always as a Muslim, a Christian, and a Jew that they're sitting in a Bet Kvarot, and they start saying, "I'm going to." to put tzedakah for this guy, 100 shekel. The other say, 500 shekel. Says, I'm going to give 2,000 shekel. But I write a check of 2,500, and he takes the 500 from the grave and leaves the check there. Okay. So, we a little also understand that Sodom is something to learn. There's a lot to learn there. So, Avraham Avinu wants even to protect Sodom. That's a tzaddik. He doesn't care only about himself, he cares about everybody. It's like the same way, and he couldn't stand it that there are no visitors. And now he's got this whole argument with God. And only after he realizes that there are no tzaddikim in Sodom, he leaves the argument, and Sodom is being destroyed, and Lot is being saved. And it's written very clearly.
Interesting, the wife of Lot, she became a statue of salt,
yes,
because she didn't want to give
salt. They told her not to turn back, and she did.
No, because she didn't. Yeah, but
in
she,
pasuk, in
she
pasuk,
didn't want to give it. Salt to the to the visitor.
Yes, 1 minute. I've in pasuk, it. In perek yutet, pasuk, kaftet.
Perek
yutet, pasuk kaftet. Vayi b'shachet Elokim et arei hakikar. ויהי בשחט אלוקים את הרי הכיכר ויזכור אלוקים את אברהם וישלח את לוט מתוך האפיך. So why is Lot saved?
Because of Abraham
Avinu, written very clearly. Mm-hmm. Now, let's understand another interesting episode here in the Parsha. We have Achnasat Orchim and Otsa'at Orchim. We have taking visitors and resenting visitors. And Sdom, they are resenting visitors. And Avram and Lot are doing Achnasat Orchim. But is there a difference between them? Because we could think, Avraham Avinu is getting those visitors, he's not risking his life. No problem. So what Lot is doing, risking his life, taking visitors in Sdom, this is a big risk. So how is it that he's not being saved because of this, it's not even mentioned? There is a story of the Rabbi Brisk, the Brisker Rabbi, that he once in a while used to take off his clothes of Rebbe and used to stand like with a casket with him and go and walk and go around. And one day they were doing it, the night came and it was very cold, getting really freezing. And they went near a Jewish hostel, whatever you call it, and he told his balagule, go and knock at the door. We cannot stay outside. We can die in this cold. It's very cold. Europe, very cold. So they're knocking at the door. Nobody's answering. He says, knock harder. They're knocking and knocking. Eventually, this guy opens the door. Says, what do you want? Says, it's freezing outside. We want a place to sleep. He says, sorry. All the rooms are reserved. Everything is full. I've got no place. He says, you cannot let us freeze outside. So after the whole argument, he said, okay, you can go in and you sleep in the on the hallway. Okay. So the Brisker Rebbe, he doesn't go to sleep immediately. He takes a candle and he starts learning. So the Balabas comes up, do you mind? You're disturbing us to sleep. We don't want the light. So, okay. He turns off the light, he learns by heart. And half an hour later, a big noise, carriages coming, all the lights in the house are being lit up, and everybody's starting to cook and doing things. The Kodain of a Rebbe came with a whole big mishlachat, all big group. And they're coming in, and they're coming, and they offering them coffee and tea and thing, and then preparing food for them. And when the Kodain of Rebbe, he goes to wash his hands before dinner, he goes on the hallway and he sees those two people lying on the floor, and he bends down and says, Brisker Rebbe, what are you doing on the floor here? And the Balabait, the owner, he listens, hears this. He got white, red. He didn't know what to do. This was Gdol Ador. He didn't want the Gdol Ador to go into his house. Then he puts the Gdol Ador on the floor, in the hallway. He goes, Slicha, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you were... You didn't know what? Didn't know that I am saying? Why? Because am I, sorry, if I'm a normal Jewish guy, you don't have to respect me? You don't have to do achnasat orchim? So he told me, I want to ask you something. If you want my forgiveness, you have to come for 2 weeks to me and to see how you do achnasat orchim. But before this, I want to ask you something. In our parsha, we have 2 achnasat orchim. The first one from Avraham Avinu is being, wow, praised. Wow, what a big thing he did, taking those Arabs in when he was on the third day of the Brit Mila. And Lot is risking his life, and nobody talks about it. He's not even being saved because of this. Why? What is the difference between the Achnasat Orchim of Avraham Avinu to the Achnasat Orchim of Lot? You know what the difference is? Look what's written. In the beginning, let's find first of all where the story with Lot is. Okay. Perek Yudchet, the first pasuk, and Perek Yutet, the first pasuk. Okay. Perek Yudchet, the first pasuk. Vayera ela vashem belonem amre v'yoshev petachor b'chom hayom v'yisa ena v'yar v'hineh shlosha anashim. What does it mean?
Three people.
Now, let's go to Perek Yutet. What's written? Vayavou shnei ha-malachim. Angels. Now, I want to ask you something. Is this a big chokhmah? To take angels?
But to visit us?
It's written malachim. But you told, as I said, the way to learn is what's written. And it's very clear that when we're talking about Avraham Avinu, we're talking about the same people, by the way, the same angels. So in Avraham it's written people. Here it's written angels. It's not a big deal to take an angel in, because the angel, as we see, when there were problems, they just blind them off. They're angels. So, okay. He's a nice guy. He's doing achnasat orchim. Why is he doing achnasat orchim? Because it was his nature. Because he was raised up in the house of Avraham Avinu. So because of this, he did it. And a risk? It's not such a big risk if you're taking angels. Angels, you know what? Angels are powerful. And by the way, from the other side, we see that the corruption of the Sdom people is so unbelievable. Look what's happening here. In Pasuk, we are now in Pasuk, in Perek Yutet, okay?
Yeah.
In Pasuk,
Chamesh.
No, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk 11. Mm-hmm. This all the thing, they come at the house and they say the whole people of Sdom. So it doesn't mean all the people of Sdom, but nobody even was doing something about it. And they coming, and they're all standing outside and they want to go in. So the minute they want to go in, ואת האנשים אשר פתח הבית יקו בסנברים מקטון ועד גדול וילאו למצוא הפתח. So the angels make they blind everybody. And what's Torah telling us? No, what's going on then? Va'ilu limtzua patach. What does it mean?
They couldn't find the
door.
In other words, they are being blinded.
Yeah.
And they still
want to enter,
looking for the door.
Yeah.
a normal guy would go away. I'm blinded.
Yeah.
But they are so evil that they don't care that they are blinded. They still looking for the door. So we see from one side, achnasat orchim of Avraham, achnasat orchim of Lot, and the way that the Sdom people are behaving with orchim.
Yeah.
Then we have the story of Avimelech. With this, we end our shiur today. I'm going to talk about Akedat Yitzchak, or we cannot talk about everything. The story of Avimelech is, we all know it. Avimelech is Avraham Avinu's coming there. He says to Sarah, "You tell them that you are my sister." He takes Sarah to his palace, and God punishes all the house of Avimelech. They cannot give birth to nobody, and they have a lot of problems. And God reveals himself to Avimelech, which is also very interesting, and tells him that's because Sarah, which is the wife of the prophet of Abraham, you send her back immediately before you are going to be killed. And of course he sends Sarah away and back, and he gives present and thing, and then he's asking,
long parsha.
Yes. In Pasuk Yud, Perekaf. Vayomer Kaf. Perekaf, Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Avimelech el Avraham. Got it? Ma ra'ita ki asita ta davar haze?
What did you see?
What did you see that you did this thing? Why did you play games with me? Why did you tell? Didn't you tell me right away? That's my wife. What is this game you played with? What did you see in our place that you had to do those tricks? And what is Avraham Avinu telling him? Vayomer Avraham ki amarti rak en yirat Elokim b'makom haze v'araguni al dvar ishti.
There is no fear of God.
There is no fear of God. And if there is no fear of God, it all looks nice from the outside. You have good manners. You have even maybe charity. You have a lot of good things from the outside. But the minute that it will hurt one of you, there will be no rules, no manners. You will kill me to get my wife. Why? Because there is no fear of God. And we all know that that's what's happening, unfortunately, all the time. The Nazis, Yimach Shemam VeZichram, the German society was the most sophisticated, intelligent, mannered society in the world. They even gave, the first one, they gave the Jews the freedom to do whatever they want. Righteous people. Yes. Yes. And suddenly, they become worse from animals. Why? Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'ragun yavashti. It's looking at things in the right way. Yirat Elokim. All Akedat Yitzchak is to get Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak together to, and he calls this place al ken al kum hazeh yirah. Hashem yireh. Yirah is lirot, is all to see. Yirat Hashem is to see the right thing. And you can see the right thing only if you're connected to God. If you're not connected to God, you won't see the right thing. Unfortunately, that's what is life. You see things, but they only look from the outside. It's like, I think the Rav Sella told me a story about his father when he was young. He was, he was learning engineering or something. So as a stage, he had to work with this big firm. And one day, the guy in charge told him, tomorrow you have to escort a VIP guy from a very important firm, is the general manager, to show him a site. So you have to wait at this corner at that time. Okay, he comes to the next, and he waits there, and this big limousine is stopping there, and the driver comes out, opens the door, here, please come in. He comes in, he meets this big shot, takes him to see the site, and then when they go back, they go to the office of the guy. The guy realizes that he's got no way to get back to his office. He says, "How do you get back to the office?" And he understands that. He says, "Okay, no problem. My driver will take you with the limousine back to the office. And on the way, you can take cigars. I've got great Cuban cigars, unbelievable. You can take a drink, wine. I've got the best wine in the bar. Enjoy yourself till we come back." So this young guy is sitting in the car. In one hand, he's got a glass of wine. Other one, this cigar. They're stopping at the traffic light. And he sees right near him a friend from when they were kids. So he opens the window, says, hi. This guy looks.
What?
Cannot believe, what? Yankele? Wow, wow, you are successful. What is this? He's his friend sitting in a limousine, a glass of wine in one hand, a cigar in the other hand, and he think, what a big success. He didn't have time to answer. The traffic light changed and he went away. So this is a story also. This is having life. You think what you see is the right thing. But no, it's not always like this. Sometimes it's a cover-up. You don't know the real story. And this is the problem. You have to be connected not only to the outside, but to the inside. I was coming back from Eilat on Kvisha Arava, going up in the, you know, to Dimona. And, you know, you have that, in the middle of the day. And suddenly there is this truck coming on this the corner. And I couldn't believe it. A car is taking off on my side, like it's here. I was lucky that they had the big, how do you say,
light?
Big side, big side. Oh. They had a big side, and I took the car, otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Sure.
And I thought, this guy
couldn't see properly.
We have to be sometimes in life, we are very short sight. We see only. Here, don't see over our nose, or maybe we don't want to see. Yetzirah sometimes takes us on places that we don't see what's waiting for us on the corner.
Wow.
Sometimes there are obstacles in life that we have to go over them. And unfortunately, sometimes we are endangering ourselves, and not only ourselves, also those that are with us. And it's not only on simple things, it's also with holy things. For example, in shul, when you have a shul and you have the people that are in charge of the shul and they have to manage the shul, and sometimes there are obstacles, it's not easy. There are big corners you have to go, and sometimes you take off and you do it without seeing what you should see. It's dangerous. And you take a corner and it's very dangerous and you don't see what's waiting for you on the corner. And this can be, for example, when people think that a shul is a business or it's a club. As we said, the people of Sodom, if you're not a member of the club, you cannot get anything. I don't want to take names because this week I heard about something else.
Wow.
So in the Dvar Torah this week, I'm writing down, generally speaking, about when you run a synagogue, when you run a shul, you have to remember Olam Chesed Ibane. Avraham Avinu opens his tent to everybody. He didn't ask nobody for money. And when you have a shul, it's not a club, and it's not a business, and you don't go to people and ask for money because they come and daven there. You can do it in a nice way, but definitely don't demand people to pay because you have maybe, or you need more money for the shul, because this is very dangerous. This is not seeing the right picture. This is seeing the outside without the inside. And this is the lesson we have to learn from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't do any discrimination. He took everybody into the tent, all the visitors, and he didn't ask nobody for money. If somebody wanted to give something, welcome. But never ask somebody for money, because this is a mitzvah. And also when we talk about a shul, we missing the point. We don't see the right picture. This is not a club. In other words, we have to learn from Avraham Avinu to be people of Chesed, to learn from Avraham Avinu how to look at things in the right way, and to look from the other side how you take visitors and how you send out visitors. Look at Sodom from one side and look at Avraham Avinu from the other side. This guy is an unbelievable guy. And he, only when he does a mitzvah, is getting to the mood of seeing the Shekhinah, of being happy. And we should learn from this the way to behave with other people, the way to behave generally in our life.